It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Wait, Kyle, is this going online?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. I do hope you'll hit the subscribe button while you're hanging around. You do that, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to catch up with Suki Waterhouse almost exactly a year to the day that we last spoke. Now, of course, the last time we spoke, Suki had just been talking about this new show that she was shooting called Daisy Jones and the Six. And she was putting out her debut album. A lot has happened in that year. In fact, she's got a brand new single. Well, let's back that up. She did an EP at the end of the year called Milk Teeth, which had some great songs from her vault that she pulled out. And now she has a brand new single called To Love. We're going to hear all about that. We're going to hear about her recent tour with Father John Misty and her plans for more singles. And of course, the next album as well. And then we're going to turn our attention to Daisy Jones and the Six. It's been a runaway success. Apparently, the cast recently did some rehearsals. They've been trying to figure out even how to play some shows, maybe a tour. We'll talk about what a second season potentially could look like. We'll just have some fun. We'll dream something up. I want to hear about the importance of her character, Karen, Karen's abortion story within the series. And we're going to learn about a movie that she's currently filming that also happens to have Sam Claflin in it, who, of course, played Billy in Daisy Jones and the Six. All that's and a whole lot more. We're talking To Love and Daisy Jones. It's Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to see you. I was just saying it's been nearly exactly a year since the last time that we did an interview, and so much has happened. Daisy Jones and the Six was only something you were telling me about a year ago, and that has since become its own worldwide phenomenon thing. You went on tour with Father John Misty. You've played, it looked like, Lollapalooza in Brazil. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. I just did Lollapalooza, and I did Brazil, Chile, and Argentina. And then I also had 4 days off. So I went to Patagonia, which was, oh my goodness, so good. So beautiful. I mean, that was just, yeah, that was like an addition on top of doing the shows. It was incredible.
I can only dream of that, about that one. I'm pretty much just a chain to the desk here talking to the folks, but it's been cool to do the vicarious thing anyway, watching all the success. I mean, seriously, congratulations on this past year. I don't know how it's felt for you, but this seems like a lot all at once.
Yeah, it definitely has been a lot at once. So I, in terms of like my sanity and like trying to, you know, that kind of stuff is a little, I can't say I have it right now, but that the whole year has been amazing. I think like I never would have thought that the show and my music would have sort of been having these like kind of memorable moments like together at the same time. And it wasn't really meant to happen like that. It was, you know, a pandemic changed everything. So I think the timings weren't really meant to work out like the way they did, but it's been very cool having it together and being in a show about being a musician, and then also kind of having like a lot of my like dreams come true, I guess, at the same time. It's been nice.
How was the tour with Tillman? I've known Josh for a long time. I'm going to be seeing him here in a couple of weeks as well.
Oh, it was great. I mean, like that, I've been such a fan of Josh for years and years, and I don't know, even when I first found out that I got the tour, I was like, really? Like he likes my stuff. I think he has like a big like presence that you think is going to be really kind of overwhelming and like kind of like, you know, I was like sort of nervous, and then that quickly like, you know, went away really fast. And he's such a lovely person and so deeply intelligent, and the show is just so good. Like every night I was just felt like so lucky to come and go and watch the show. And I would always be going out there just like, you know, watching Josh, watching like 10 guys get up on stage every night, and like the attention to detail and every single thing. I mean, that show is like everyone has to see his show. It's beyond. I mean, my mom came and watched in New York and in Canada, and she was like, she just hasn't, you know, she got converted. She has not stopped talking about him.
I've seen that happen to a lot of people. I see the moment in their face as they're watching him on stage, and it just happens. Mm-hmm. The guy is an incredible performer. I saw you're going to be reuniting, I think you said, with him at the Johanna Festival later this year, right?
Yes. So,
cool lineup there too. Well, let's, you know, and of course this all revolves around the music. To Love, I've Been Loving, what a great song that's come off. And this is just is this a one-off right now, is that what I read?
I think it's a one-off. I mean, I guess I'll probably release a couple more singles, and then hopefully another record maybe like sometime next year, I think. But I think this year is for writing it. I think To Love feels like it's like part of like it's kind of like the invisible line in between the music that I've been making and the next kind of like era of music. But I'm still like kind of, it's starting to like show itself a little bit more, but there's that kind of, yeah, that like transition period and that finding like what it's going to look like for me, like the kind of music that I'll be making, and just like meeting a lot of people and seeing who's like available and who pops up creatively in your life that you align with. And that's what this year is for, really.
And we'll be right back right after this.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse. And it is, it's a really beautiful song, and kind of reading about it, you know, being on the positive side versus, you know, some of the older songs. I think the press release, you know, mentioned the Sad Girl Indie thing, which is kind of a funny stamp to have every now and then. But seeing this direction, everything, especially coming off of the Milk Teeth EP, like when I heard Neon Signs for the first time, I was like, oh, this is a different voice for her. This is something heavier. I mean, is that, do you find, like, I'm a big fan of that one, by the way. Do you find yourself kind of veering towards that at all?
Yeah, I definitely have another song that's really similar to Neon Signs, or kind of in that same sort of ilk I think every now and then I feel like this kind of stompier, like kind of Debbie Harry, like whole sort of thing kind of comes out, and that like kind of garbage, or just like wanting to do something that feels like harder and more coarse. And that was my the Neon Signs was a song that I'd had around, like I'd made that song years and years ago, and I made like a, I don't know if you've seen the video for it, but I it was like one of the first videos I made, and I made it for like I think like $500, like I made it on such a shoestring, and I made like a paper mache head, and I put it over a friend of mine, and then we got in the back of a car and we just shot it all on iPhone. But that, yeah, that's that song I loved, and I definitely like it, it's a part of the kinds of songs that I like to make.
So is that what Milk Teeth really was? I mean, I know there was the whole story about Good Looking having its kind of resurgence and everything. Was that EP kind of your chance to collect some of the cast offs and the vault songs like that?
Yeah, definitely collect the ones the songs that I'd had that I, yeah, maybe like done kind of a little bit with, but not got to, you know, not finally put out. And a lot of that, there weren't really like good reasons of why I hadn't really put them out. And I definitely didn't think I would be able to have an EP or like, you know, get them on a record. So that was definitely, it felt like I got to like all this, like kind of the nods from the past, or all the songs from the past that hadn't really had like their moment to actually, yeah, be released properly, be put on a record. I guess like tie up that whole sort of, tie up the past, and yeah, have them recognized in some way and like memorialized in a record format, and kind of get to honor them, and then sort of release them and say goodbye to them. And then it's a very kind of like new sort of place for me to be in, being like, oh, actually even people are like listening to the songs, or like kind of even recognizing what you put out. I've got that kind of feeling around the second record. But with To Love, it just sort of I think I'm always just trying to go inward and really honor that process of like of going inward and finding importance in it, and that song, I think like I always like know when it's kind of clicked, and I've got the thing that that sort of just like represents like the time that I'm in most accurately.
Well, that's interesting the way you put it, you know, to put it out there and say goodbye, because like Neon Signs, like that was new to me. And so suddenly that's speaking for this moment where it was such a past view. Good Looking is probably a better example of that, because here's a song, you know, that's a few years old that represents something of the past. And then suddenly it becomes something of the present for so many more people, you know, than it ever had. Is there a moment inside you where you have to sort of make that compromise to pull yourself back to that moment at all?
I mean, I love being pulled back to it. It changes the way that you see the song when suddenly people are, suddenly people have ascribed all this new meaning to it. Even like you end up listening to the song so much more than you did. Like I always like, I'd showed that song to, you know, I'd had that song as like part of the songs that I would show people all the time, and like, you know, all kinds of people in music, and everyone would always be like, you know, no one really like thought that much of that song ever. So it's fun. Yeah, it's funny. It's like I love that part where I kind of am like listening to a lot and people appreciate it more, and then you're like, yeah, you know what, that is a good song. And like for some reason, like I don't know how strange that you can kind of be like, you can, you know, I always love that. I always love that song, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting how they can like the feeling around them can just suddenly change and shift. And
you think of a lot of artists that have dealt with the same thing, especially artists that, you know, they're around decades, and they have those records that just no one paid attention to, or the songs that no one paid attention to when they first come out. And then decades later, it's like, oh, this is one of the greatest songs of all time. You know, it's like,
well,
Elton John's had those Weezer, you know, with Pinkerton famously kind of, you know, suffered through that. It's, That's got to be an interesting moment for any artist, that it's like, oh, you know, right. This was a good song. I wasn't wrong about that.
Yeah. It's strange.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse. So then with all of this, of course, you also have Daisy Jones and the Six to be a part. Like, I don't know, you know, since this is a show, since this was a role, since this music was written by someone else, like how much this also comes to speak for you as an artist at this point, but does it?
I think Daisy sort of gave me like a sort of gift, like as an artist. I think when it was more about putting myself inside of the character, and that kind of like gave me a lot as an artist. And also they gave, you know, we basically had like on hand studio time, and like on hand, like we literally had Sound City to ourselves. Like we could go there whenever we want. Like we literally had the keys, even when it was like the pandemic, that, you know, you could go in there by yourself if you weren't around anyone else and practice, and, you know, just have all that space. So it kind of gave me like the opportunity to have my piano teacher, who's also an amazing musician who writes as well. And like, you know, like maybe like not every day would we be doing Daisy Jones songs. We'd start working on like my stuff, or like, you know, we just, it's like you have so many hours per day of, you know, you kind of like go off course of your homework, I suppose. And I think that, yeah, that gave me a lot. And then you think about the kind of the importance of the music for my character, Karen. Like, I'd been writing so much and always making music, but just there was something kind of like still sort of holding me back from kind of like, I guess, like coming to completion, or like, you know, actually finishing a record, or and it wasn't to do with like doing the work, because I like had the music ready. It was something like more psychological. And I think the show kind of subconsciously helped me like break that down.
Well, you've similar in the way that we were talking about with your own music, how people are kind of catching up. Like, it feels like this is also one of those moments too, because you all shot this a couple of years ago now. It's like, I'm guessing that you all have moved on from this in some sort of way, whereas we're all just like in it at the moment.
I don't know. We actually like kind of, I don't know. We still talk on the group chat constantly. We're still like all, you know, like speaking about whether or not we could do a show together. There's been like a lot of conversation around that. Like, I know people like really want us to go on tour. Like,
I really want you to go on tour. Listen, yeah. And to interrupt you quickly, that was my first question to my friends at Atlantic Records. That was my first question to Scott Neustadter when I was talking to him. It's like, okay, yes, but can we get them on tour?
I know, right? Like, I mean, there's been so much like talking about that. And we did some rehearsal time recently, so everyone got back together recently to rehearse. I think Scott said it in an interview, but it's like the hardest thing is, and you get like, you know, like everyone who's like, yeah, I guess moved on in the fact that like everyone has to like work and has other jobs now, and like, is that possible to make that happen? I don't know if it's like the right thing, but I think we have to do a show at some point. I think that's definitely going to happen.
I mean, even if it's like, you know, the magical 3 days, you do New York, you do LA, and then you do a festival, right? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. It'd just be brilliant. But we need to do it. Like, I feel like we have to do that soon. But yeah, we're not that moved on from it in a weird way. We're like very, and like the press, we just went on a press tour together. So we all came together again. And I think, I don't know, we had like so much anticipation about the show coming out. And like, I think just like the amount of work we put into it and like how many years of our lives we've spent together at this point, we're just very like, I don't know, we're very bonded in a way that is quite unusual, I think.
Yeah, because usually you shoot the show and everybody's like, oh, it was a family. You know, that's the cliche line, right? It's a family. And then you walk away and you never see each other again. but it's not the
I
case.
I don't know. I actually feel like I do see. I usually like do take away quite. I do take away a friend, like at least one friendship. Like that's usually pretty good, even if I don't see the person all the time. It's just like just like kind of like you can't help but it's just so unusual to be able to get to know someone that well in such a short space of time, and it's like it's very good for like flighty romantic people, because even like as a friend you're just like, oh, I get to see, you know, I get to see you, I get to basically fall in love with a new friend and like see what it's like for them to be like super silly, and see what it's like for them to, you know, we do like night shoots and stay up all night together for 2 weeks, or see what it's like for them to be stressed. I mean, it just like creates kind of an intimate environment so quickly, which is great.
Yeah, there's some of the stories out there. What was it? Camille was on one of the, it was Fallon or something, I don't know, but she was talking about getting everybody, the three of you all getting locked in a room and having to watch.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, we like hearing those friendship stories anyway. It is cool to see that kind of camaraderie out of the gang. But so what does this leave us at? Because, you know, we're all asking about season two. Like, if it's a success, what happens next?
I don't think that's yeah, what we always joke about what that would look like, but in terms of like the story, I feel like the story has been told as the, you know, as it was written. So we would have to get a little bit creative for season two.
See, I think there's a few scenarios. Personally speaking, there's one, the 20 years later reunion, you know, that pulls everybody together, and what there can be drama, of course. Mm-hmm. There's two, what happened in the interim, because your character, Karen, gets to have the new wave years, the 80s, and I think that's really interesting as well.
You see a flash of her with her guitar.
I hope you've gotten to play the guitar some.
That was the first time I'd been handed a guitar for that scene. It was pretty crazy.
See, that's just another learning experience. Or Scott was saying, you know, it could even be... you know, a series, what's the word I'm looking for, where, you know, they take a different cast but at the same period in time, anthology series. That's what I was
looking
for.
Well, that might happen. That sounds very sad, because that means we wouldn't be involved in it.
See, I don't want that one either.
That's probably more likely what's happening. They're probably talking about it and planning it, and we're not invited back. That's probably what happened.
You know, I think there's a chance to tell the reunion, to tell the reunion story here, because I don't know that that's ever been done in movie form in this sort of way. So it's you know.
Yeah, we'd be like Fleetwood Mac, like now, just like writing horror tweets about each other.
But you'd have to wear the aged makeup again, right? Like everybody would have to do the whole thing in the aged makeup.
Yeah.
Like how did you feel about that part, being kind of grown up in that way?
It was actually just kind of like quite difficult to get it right. It's surprising like how difficult it is. Like some of us, I think, got away with it better than others. Like I think Karen looked pretty insane. I think Karen kind of looks like Andy Warhol. She looks like like a mix between Debbie Harry and Andy Warhol, but no, I love it. There's a lot of like wig experimentation. I think I did like 3 or 4 try-ons for like which, you know, how to like stretch your eyes in a particular way. I don't know, it's difficult. Some people, I think Will looks like, I don't know, I thought that he really pulled it off. But it's fucking hilarious doing all that. The interview stuff.
Yeah, I like seeing Sam in the age. It's like, I don't remember exactly what he was wearing, but in my head it's like a sweater, you know, and wispiness to him. And it's like... that was a good move right there. That was a good move.
Yeah, he had it down.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse. Not to take this in a too heavy of a subject, but I did want to bring up, because it only got hit on a little bit, but, you know, for your character to also have an abortion story that goes along with it, and for that to have landed, and again, we talk about how the pandemic kind of threw everything off, but to that have landed at that exact moment when that became such a big part of the news, it's still such a big part of the news, as Florida just fucking did some shit again today with a 6-week ban. And again, I'm not trying to take this in a weird spot, but I guess what I'm asking is, how important was that for you to be a part of that story, and to, did it mean anything different because it did land when it did?
It definitely did, actually, because I guess I was like thinking in my, you know, I was kind of like thinking about it in my own experiences of like, you know, what's it like for me now, or like for women now, compared to what it was like then. And I was sort of trying to like, I don't know, I keep like giving these examples to myself. I'm like, well, you know, in some ways we really celebrate like, you know, working, like, you know, kind of, I guess, like we really celebrate Rihanna at the Super Bowl and her having her baby bump out. I mean, I don't know if that's the greatest example, because she's like, you know, a very wealthy pop star, but there are some, you know, that like, I think in some ways there's, you know, it's like a bit more like celebrated, and, you know, compared to like when I look at like Christy McVie or Stevie Nicks and, or like Chrissy Hynde, like they've never had children, and they all, I think they've all spoken about like that being a regret in a way, or they just never felt like that was something they were able to do, because they had to, it just never would have been, it would have just had to have set them back so much, or, you know, or maybe like there are lots of reasons, but I think like I kind of finally like, so I guess like when I think about now and then, that hasn't changed. It's like, I think women are expected to have, you know, have jobs, like they don't have children, and they're expected to, you know, have kids, like they, you know, when you have kids, you're expected to work, like they don't exist. And it's kind of like an impossibility, and we just don't have there's just like not the support systems to be able to like to have children and work in the way that is expected of, you know, is expected of you to work and to be able to succeed the same way as men. And that's just something that I think is just like, it's always going to be a huge struggle. But in terms of what you're talking about, like, yeah, definitely I had a much deeper resonance with me because of what's going on in the world right now. And just like how much we're going back in time, and how much just that choice being stripped of women in America, it's so fucking shocking that's the case. And it definitely felt heavy shooting those scenes, knowing that was you know, knowing that that's going on in the world, and thinking about the situations that women are being put in right now.
So fucking shocking, I think, is the perfect way to put that.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the, there's many reasons. That's one of the reasons why I love seeing that storyline there, and specifically focused on that. So, I mean, you know, and I could say that about so many parts of that show.
Yeah.
You know,
it's nice we get to see Karen. I don't think we often get to see a character, like a female character, sort of stick to like that. Actually, you know, it's kind of like, no, she wants a career. She says no, she lets go of the guy, and she moves on, and you see her in the future, and she doesn't have any regrets, and she's, you know, she made the right choice. And there's something like really beautiful about that. I don't think you get to see that very much, you know, where it's not like some, it's like a, you know, she sits there and she says, you know, it's not entirely true about, you know, he says, you know, she did me such a, she kind of like let me go and let me down, or, you know, said that she didn't love me or whatever. And she's like, you know, it's not really true. Like she still, she did love him. But she knew, like, because she loved him, she let him go, because she knew that she wouldn't be able to give him those things. And so it's kind of like this big, big romantic declaration of love in a way that, you know, from the woman and letting him go and not having his baby and going on and having her career. And he ends up marrying a girl that kind of looks like Karen. But anyways,
that's true. So what's next? for you? Obviously, you already said you're working on the album. You know, when I look online, I don't see any, you know, your IMDb page doesn't show me another role.
I actually am doing a film right now.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
It hasn't been announced, but I am shooting something right now. Yeah, it's actually with, I'm actually shooting something with Sam.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
I haven't told anyone that yet. I just did my first day the other day. Yeah, we're in England shooting something with some great actors, actually, that I've been a big fan of forever. I've always wanted to do a movie with Eddie Marsan. And so, yeah, he's in the movie as well. And yeah, it hasn't been announced yet. So I don't know if it even will be, but that's what I'm shooting right now. So I'm doing that. And yeah, that's the only role I have right now. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot going on and lots of shows coming up. I'm doing Shaky Knees and Governor's Ball and a bunch of festivals over the next few months. Yeah.
You're busy. It's a funny thing, you know, the two worlds that I play in, you know, the music world on this side and then the film and TV world on this side. That question is hilarious, how different the answer has to be. Like on the music side, I'm like, so what's next? And like, oh yeah, we're in the middle of the album. It's called this, you know. You start rattling off things. I ask an actor, like, what's next? And I'm like, I can't tell you.
It's a secret. I don't know if it's a secret. I haven't been told it's a secret, but yeah, that's. I've told you, it's shooting, so it can't be a secret. But yeah, the album. Yeah, when you're like, what's next? It's like, yeah, I'm in the middle of the album's really coming along, and you're like, shit. Shit, better get going. Oh my god. But no, I have been. I mean, I'm writing all the time. Feel like there's like, yeah, you kind of got like you sort of go through, it just feels like that, like doing another album feels like kind of like, if it's just like, so when you just imagine doing another one, you're like, this is insane. How could I ever do that again? And I think of how long it took me to make the first one. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I meant to do it this year. And you're like, what? How's that going to happen?
And somehow it all comes together. And there's a record at the end.
And you know that it, yeah, you know that it will. Like, you know that all you know is that you're just going to go through like uncomfortable, like a lot of difficulty, a lot of joy. Like it's the same thing as any, you know, every time that you put yourself into that like creative space.
It's like the fantasy and the truth about what you think of the reality. Your favorite albums of all time, like that they just appeared, like they were handed down upon high and here they are. And then you hear the real story. It's like, ah, oh, fuck, that was rough.
Yeah. And like, also just, you know, yeah, you know that you have to, I know what I have to do in some ways. And then there'll be loads of, there's always just loads of surprises. And hopefully, yeah, hopefully like every time you do something like this, it's always like kind of like a mind altering process. And everything that you think that you have to do gets changed and flipped on its head. But I mean, that's what I kind of love about it as well. It's like that I sort of like know that I'll be surprised and unexpected things will happen. And you also kind of, because you're kind of working with, like, I think the horizons of who would want to like work with me and now have kind of expanded a little bit. And that's like always quite interesting. Like I've just been like, even just getting connected with like some amazing producers, and you're like, oh, they live down the street, and just going around to their house and being like, wow, massive producer, you know, you live like on my street, and like, and you want to do stuff, like that's crazy. And then, you know, just like I think, yeah, you know that like that's like the such a cool thing about this job, is you're just saying, oh, I'm gonna be able to meet more people, and like, you know, some incredible people you'll meet, and it might not end up being, you know, anything might end up coming with it, but you know that there will be, yeah, there probably will be people that will enjoy.
I look forward to hearing whatever comes out of any of that. Seriously, you know, as I wrap up here, I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan. I love what you're doing. This new single is so great to love. And hopefully I'll be catching one of these shows this summer, because knowing that you're out there and everything, and especially playing with some, you know, buddies of mine here and there. It looks like an exciting year. And I hope we get to catch up the next time there's a record or a movie or whatever. But thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. Great to see you again.
And my thanks to Suki Waterhouse. Again, she's got a new single called To Love, music video, and of course the whole series, Daisy Jones and the Six, is currently on Prime Video. Search deeper within my series here for the conversation I had with Suki just last year. Search Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse. And thanks to you for checking out this episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button before you leave. You get 3 new interviews every week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at all the usual spots, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith, so do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Was it really a year? God, that's gone kind of fast, actually.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.